It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning, Who Dat Nation. It is September the 15th, a Sunday. Week 2 action getting ready to start on WWL. Well, heck, it is starting now. What am I talking about? Drink that cup of coffee.
Get ready.
We get ready for a noon start in Dallas. 1-0 Saints taking on the 1-0 Cowboys. Me, Charlie Long, Cullen Steele, bringing it till 10 a.m. That's when the Cajun Cannon will take over on the Bud Light countdown, the kickoff. And then, of course, game time, high noon in Dallas. Jerry's World, what a gorgeous stadium. But the Saints going to take it over today. Noon start with Deuce McAllister, Mike Hawes, Jeff Nowak on the sideline. Big one for the black and gold, obviously, in week 2. Hopefully they can continue a bunch of that positive momentum for week 1 where they outscored the Carolina Panthers by 37 points. And I know, you take that one game and you kind of have the 24-hour rule like the players and coaches, but man, oh man, it was kind of nice riding high off of that all week.
Yeah, it had people fired up. And like when you're in the NFL and you're playing a game and basically at halftime you're feeling like you can kind of coast to a victory because they were up 30-3 at halftime and the 3 points they gave up was at the final like 2-minute drive.
That right, like you said, you're feeling like we got
this.
You're
up 30-0 going to halftime at 30-3.
It's all lanyap after
it
that.
It is the nicest thing in the world to just be kind of like kicking back like, I don't have to worry about this game at all. And, you know, to the people that kept saying, oh, it's just the Panthers. Like, look, I get it. The Panthers are going to be competing with teams like the Giants and, you know, maybe like some other squads that are at the bottom of the league for that top overall pick this upcoming year. But at the same time, what do good teams do to bad teams?
Decimate.
They smoke them. 37 points. Come on now. So now you're going into a game against a legit Dallas Cowboys squad. And as you mentioned about AT&T Stadium, Jerry World, they've been tough to beat there, Steve. So I looked up a little bit of history here.
Yeah.
The Cowboys, you know what their winning streak is at home?
I know they didn't lose last year at all.
And it is 16 games.
16 straight.
In the regular season.
Right. Because
you remember, you will recall, they got smoked by, you know, the Green Bay Packers, that young Packers squad led by Jordan Love last year in the playoffs. And that's been their issue. Like, they've been such a good, consistent regular season team. But when they get to the playoffs, they just kind of lose it.
Man,
right?
Right.
Like, nothing. They come up flat. But still, 16 straight regular season victories at home. And I was like, what's kind of the history of that? Like, that seems really, really long. The longest of all time is the Dolphins dating back to the 70s, which was 27. So they still got a ways to go to reach like that mark,
yeah.
Right? But it's still a very, very impressive home winning streak. The Saints have to go in there and prove everybody wrong because they're, even with that performance against Carolina, winning by 37 points, they're still 6.5-point underdogs in this game. And that kind of tells you something because if you go back and look at the Cowboys games at home last year, a lot of their games, you know, you got to take it with a little bit of salt because the opponents that they were playing weren't very good. But they blew out a lot of teams at home.
Hey, like we were saying with the Panthers, though, you got to just beat the team that's in front of you.
Correct.
So.
And at the same time, I think that's what made their playoff loss so surprising was that this was a team that was so dominant at home all season long, and then they just get blown out. It was just kind of out of nowhere. So the Saints will have to do something that no team has done for basically the past 2 years, and that is beat the Cowboys and Jerry World in the regular season. So we'll see what happens.
Like Han Solo says, never tell me the odds.
Yeah, exactly.
Definitely looking forward to this one. Obviously a big-time matchup. Everybody's still Maybe not everyone, but definitely the folks in Dallas consider the Cowboys America's team. You constantly hear that. Yeah. I really don't know how that ended up taking over and becoming a thing, because to me it would be maybe America's team more like the Saints, just because of their, you know, you're down and out losers typically, and people end up and rooting for the underdog.
Yeah, I love like the what Bobby was talking about last year when the playoffs are starting, like the blue collar Super Bowl that would have been like the Lions versus the Browns or something like that, right?
Right.
I think like the America's team stuff all started, like, they haven't won a Super Bowl since before I was born. So I'm putting that into perspective a little bit. I have never seen,
putting that there, right?
Since I have been alive, I have never seen a Cowboys Super Bowl. So, I mean, all their accolades, all that stuff was all the way back in the 90s. All I've known from the Cowboys, really good regular season success, and they come up flat in the playoffs. So, granted, this is the regular season, so the Saints will have to do something, once again, that not many teams have done in the past few years. I think back-to-back-to-back 12-win seasons for this Cowboys squad. So, they're obviously a great regular season bunch. You just got to figure out how to take them down.
No, definitely, like you mentioned it right there, it's definitely the scary regular season success, and that's all we care about today. And that streak on the line in at Dallas right now going on. Hopefully the Saints can snap that streak. Looking at some of the banged up players in this one, this LCMC health update is brought to you by LCMC Health. 8 hospitals, one promise of keeping you well. Guys, right now for this matchup going into the noon kickoff, we've got 2 players that are out. DeMarco Jackson, Colin Saunders, your linebacker, defensive tackle, both dealing with calf injuries there, so they are out for this matchup. Meanwhile, quite a few banged up and are questionable. We saw defensive tackle Brian Brzee dealing with an illness. Isaiah Foskey popped up with a calf injury. He's also questionable. Linebacker Jalen Ford, a hamstring issue, was limited all week. He's questionable. And then 2 big ones here. Taliesi Fuaga, dealing with the back. He was limited on Wednesday, but then didn't practice on Thursday or Friday. Is listed as questionable for this matchup. And then in corner, Marshawn Lattimore, didn't practice all week. He's questionable with that hip/hamstring issue. Definitely a huge concern going in there, because when you think of the Dallas Cowboys, obviously Dak Prescott and one of the top receivers in the game in CeeDee Lamb, and you figured yep. Marshawn Lattimore would be mostly covering him.
Yeah, so real quick, with Taliese Fuaga and then Lucas Patrick as well, Nowak put this out on Twitter last night, and it's a great point, that Ugo Amadi and Isaiah Stallbird were the 2 elevations for the Saints from the practice squad.
Yeah.
They didn't elevate any linemen, which, you know, as far as we know, Fuaga right now is listed as a game-time decision, right? He traveled with the team to Dallas, which is a good start, but they're going to have to wait to see probably through warm-ups and stuff to see if he'll be able to play. But the fact that they didn't elevate a lineman is probably a good sign that he will play. You don't want to say anything just yet, because we're not for certain, like, sure that it's going to happen. But, I mean, they could really use him against this Cowboys pass rush. You already have Micah Parsons on one side, likely be going against Trevor Penning in this game. But on the opposite side, DeMarcus Lawrence is really, really solid too, and can hold his own as a defensive end as well. So, really strong pass rush. We'll continue to preview this Cowboys squad as we go along. It's a really good team top to bottom. It's going to be a great test and a litmus test early on this season for the Saints.
And Cullen just passed this along to me from Ian Rappaport, who tweeted out, he's an NFL Network insider. Right. Saints will be cautious with star corner Marshawn Lattimore, who is questionable with a hip and hamstring issue. He's pushing a play, but it's a long season, and him being healthy is paramount. He'll work out this morning to see. So another game-time decision there. We'll be monitoring, obviously, when we talk to Deuce later on.
Yeah, it's a hamstring thing, right?
Yeah.
That was something Mike had brought this up, that it was something that he had dealt with a lot at Ohio State.
Correct.
And that's probably the reason why he fell all the way down to where the Saints picked at 11. So, you know, but this was back in 2017. So it's been something that's kind of bugged him throughout his career a little bit.
And just, unfortunately, injuries the past 2 seasons have been a bugaboo for Marshawn.
We know that it's minor. Like, that's the good sign. We know that the hamstring injury is minor, but if you want to be better safe than sorry, just let him sit. It's okay. I mean, like, it's not okay necessarily, because you are going up against a top 3 receiver in the league. I mean, it's like Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, and I guess like Ja'Marr Chase. Like, you can say he's top 5. I think he's top 3. CeeDee is just that electric. And so you would love to have your top corner, your star cornerback, going up against him for this matchup. But if he can't go, the good news is that you feel great about the depth at cornerback.
I was going to go right there, exactly.
So the game that Alante Taylor had last week was fantastic, and he's obviously the slot corner. But you also have Paulson and Debo. You have Kool-Aid McKinstry. You're feeling pretty good about that spot. And you also elevated Ugo Amadi as an extra defensive back if you need it. So, yeah, I mean, it's obviously a huge loss if the Saints don't have Lattimore going up against someone like CeeDee Lamb, because I think he would be the guy probably traveling and trying to blanket him. But we'll have to see. I mean, he's probably just like Fuaga going to maybe be a game time decision. But if Rappaport's saying that they're going to be careful with him in a long season, it kind of leads me to believe that they're probably not going to play him.
With Alante having that, you know, great success early on in the slot, we've seen, well, maybe he's adjusted to the position. I know last year was a little more difficult to him. If Lattimore can't go, you definitely have, obviously, Paulson Adebo outside. Do you put the rookie Kool-Aid McKintry then outside, or do you move Alante?
I think it's actually an interesting question, because I also think it's fascinating because CeeDee Lamb is not just a purely outside receiver. He plays in the slot a bunch.
Right.
I would need to look up the stats about what percentage of snaps he takes in the slot. But Alante Taylor, if you have him in the slot and you're confident in him as a slot corner, I mean, he's probably going to be matching up against CeeDee at points in this game. So we'll have to see.
The one thing that is a big question for me going into this matchup for the Cowboys, really not sure about their run game. They brought back Ezekiel Elliott, let Tony Pollard go, and then there's really, you look at the names on their depth chart in that running back room, and it's a lot of question marks there.
It was okay in week one against the Cleveland Browns, which, by the way,
impressive though, right?
Super impressive victory, 33-17, and it really wasn't that close. I mean, I know that Deshaun Watson is probably catching a ton of heat from Cleveland Browns fans and Cleveland sports radio folks because,
as Bobby would say, stealing money.
He's stealing money for one, and you see the success that Baker Mayfield's having in Tampa.
Oh, right. They move on from Baker. Look at the success there. And now, boom, your guy that you doled out all this money for and that guaranteed cash for him.
It's tough because the thing with the Cowboys rushing attack, Ezekiel Elliott led the team last week in rushing attempts with 10. So it wasn't necessarily even like he had a huge workload. But he didn't really need to have one because it was such a blowout. At the same time, he had 40 rushing yards, so four yards per carry is always decent. As a team, the Cowboys ran 25 times for 102 yards, good for 4.1 yards per carry. So the carries are split up a little bit. Like Zeke had 10, Rico Dowdle, who's their backup running back, had 8. CD had a couple carries as well, and then everything else was just kind of spread around. So 25 carries, 102 rushing yards, 4.1 yards per carry, a long rush of 12 yards in that game against the Cleveland Browns. So it was a solid debut performance for them. It wasn't what the Saints did to Carolina, and that's what we'll bring up multiple times throughout this game is how important it is for the Saints to build on that performance with the rushing attack, because when you have the pass rushers that Dallas has, as I mentioned with DeMarcus Lawrence and Micah Parsons, the best way to neutralize that threat is to just go right at them, right? And Mark Schlereth said it's like the bend your neck play. It's like it's something that Rico Dennison, the run game coordinator for the Saints, first year run game coordinator, he had spent time, you know, with the Vikings. Apparently he also spent time in Denver when Mark Schlereth was playing there. He said Rico loved these plays where you just try to bully the opponent, where even if like you're in a situation where it's not likely to work necessarily as far as the run game goes, just try and like bend their neck, so to speak. And so we'll see if the Saints can do that this week against the Cowboys defense that, you know, when they were playing the Cleveland Browns this past week, the Browns didn't really have the fortune to run the ball often because they found themselves in such a big hole.
Yeah,
but they still had decent success. Like, we talked about how good the Saints rushing attack was week one against Carolina.
Right. Jerome Ford ended up with pretty decent numbers, right?
The whole team did.
Okay.
So, as far as the Saints go, like, they had 4.9 yards per carry against Carolina. They ended up with a total of, let's see here, it was 180 rushing yards on 37 carries. I mean, the volume was there.
Yeah.
So the numbers were there. 4.9 yards per carry. With Cleveland, and Cleveland's rushing attack was a strength as well, they averaged 4.9 yards per carry, but they had 19 attempts. It was 19 for 93. So when they were able to run the ball, they found some success against this Dallas Cowboys defense. And that's probably what the Saints are going to have to do early and often this year, or this week, as far as kind of keeping that pass rush at bay.
Definitely got the coffee flowing early on this morning. The good thing, Charlie, I mentioned to you, we didn't have a late night LSU game, so we're not dragging too badly this morning. LSU getting that
right.
Really tough 36-33 win at South Carolina. That was a definite must-need for the Tigers there. I know the team struggled most of the way, but the Tigers thankfully ended up finding a way to pull it out in the end. But boy, oh boy, you know, a little off topic here. Those LSU Tigers got a lot to work on for sure.
We have a text here, Steve.
Yeah.
Said, quote my fear, the D-line last week got pressure but had zero sacks, and the run D is shaky. And then O-line, man, oh man, Carme gets sacked 5 times a day. Color me worried. Yeah, I mean, it starts up front. If you're going to pull off an upset against this team that once again has won 16 straight home games.
Well, to be fair, though, the team did have four sacks. Nobody on the line necessarily registered a
sack.
Yeah,
Alante Taylor was getting after
three, and then DeMario had another, right?
Correct. But the thing is, last week with the Cowboys, I mean, yes, their pass rush is legit. They had six sacks against Deshaun Watson. And you know, I was hearing jokes that, like, Micah Parsons, DeMarcus Lawrence, the Cowboys' defensive line was in the backfield more than, you know, Deshaun Watson was.
Yeah.
And then they allowed three against a really good Cleveland Browns defense. So it's going to be interesting to see, like, because, I mean, pressures and hurries are still good, right? They can force incompletions. They can force interceptions. Like, if you're getting after the quarterback, I think Chase Young had a good debut performance. He didn't get a sack. That's okay. He was still getting after Bryce, forcing some incompletions. There was a reason that Bryce was, like, 13-30 in that game. So if you can get after Dak, and this is going to be one of the keys that we'll talk about the whole show, because Deuce talked about it, Mike talked about it, we have all these bites and all this sound that we'll get to. If you can get after him with that front four and get pressure on him, force him into some batting completions, maybe a pick, like, that's all you really need. As far as the pass protection goes, six sacks from the Cowboys last week, if you have that on Derek Carr this week, you're in trouble. At the same time, you don't want to get into those obvious, and third down, once again, we'll get more into this, third down's the money down, right? Like we always talk about. If you get into those third and long situations, obvious passing downs against the Cowboys where you're in like third and nine, third
and
10, you're in trouble, which is why the run game is so, so important. Early down success is going to be huge in this game.
Yeah, you look at this Cowboys squad, obviously a menacing front there on defense. You have to worry about the offense. We'll get into some numbers, like you said, a little later on. Dennis Allen has had some pretty good success scheming against Dak Prescott.
Oh, okay.
Going to take a break. We'll be back with more First Take. Want to hear from you on the Oakwin Heart Jewelers talk and text line. What you doing this morning on game day, folks? 504-260-1870. Want to hear from you as we get ready for that noon start against the 1-0 Dallas Cowboys. Coming back with more First Take after the break right here on WWL. Who dat?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
They have great scheme along with really, really good talent. And so we'll definitely have our work cut out for sure.
Derek Carr talking about this Dallas Cowboys defense. The Saints will be taking on today right here on WWL Saints Radio, a noon kickoff in Dallas. And wasn't the, you know, most impressive outing from Derek Carr in that opener, but he was efficient, did what he had to do, completing 19 of 23 passes, 200 yards, and three touchdowns. So like I said, really efficient in what he did against that Panthers front. We would love to see that, obviously, today against the Dallas Cowboys. I think the biggest thing for him when we talked about this pressure that you expect from this D is not holding on to the football, which I thought was absolutely a huge surprise to me in game number one. The whole offense seemed to be moving a lot quicker. They seemed to be in tune, and I didn't expect that right away when you were learning a new offense here under Clint Kubiak. It just seemed very efficient.
So one thing that stands out as well, the Carolina Panthers defensive front is awful. I mean, the Saints offensive line was definitely the surprise of the game because they were expected to be awful.
Yeah.
But they held up very nicely, gave up one sack, and only one quarterback hit. And by, you read off the stats there, but the thing that stands out to me, a 142.5 passer rating in that game for Derek Carr. Keep him upright and let him cook. Now, the thing with the Cowboys defensive front, man, they they got after Deshaun Watson. And six sacks, as we mentioned, but the quarterback hit, Steve, 17. Like, even
just
when
abused.
Yeah, even when Deshaun was getting the ball out in that week one matchup, that blowout that the Cowboys had in Cleveland, which, by the way, Cleveland was really good at home last year, too. And a big reason of it was their defense. I think their defense gave up like 13 points per game at home last year. They were like 8-1 in Cleveland. And Dallas just, I mean, treated them like they were 1-8. So, but a big reason for that was the offense wasn't able to do anything because when Deshaun Watson was asked to pass the ball, once again, six sacks and 17 quarterback hits. I mean, this is a huge test for the Saints offensive line.
Go ahead.
No, I mean, that's just what I'm saying. Like, can these young tackles hold up? Like, Trevor Penning had a really strong week one performance, but now he's going up against Micah Parsons. You're going to have to chip, right? And there's times where I think it was against that Cleveland Browns squad where they tried to chip him a couple different times, and he still got through because it's just Micah Parsons. He's a monster.
See, I was interrupting you, and you had a perfect segue because here is Derek Carr talking about Micah Parsons.
Yeah.
He's so fast. He's powerful. Plays extremely hard. He's one of the best players in our game. You know, you turn on the tape, and he reminds me of Von Miller all those years that me and Von were, you know, battling, you know, two times a year. You know, he really reminds me of Von with that explosiveness, that get off, his understanding of what they're trying to do to him and those kind of things. Very, very impressive.
And obviously this defense isn't just Parsons, but he's a huge piece to it. And you mentioned, Carr mentioned right there, comparing him to a guy like Vaughn Miller, mighty impressive right
That's
there.
That's a cool comp. I've actually never heard that, but I see it 100%. And Mike called him the straw that stirs the drink for the Dallas Cowboys defense. And he's completely correct. With Micah Parsons, like, the Cowboys already gave CeeDee Lamb a gigantic contract. Once again, as we mentioned in the first segment, a top three receiver in the NFL. They gave Dak Prescott $60 million per year, which, I mean,
good look, for you.
Yeah, look, and once again, and Dak is a good regular season quarterback, but can he get it done in the postseason? That's yet to be determined. But as far as regular season success, as I mentioned, Mike McCarthy and this Dallas Cowboys squad, three straight 12-win seasons. That's not nothing, right? The next guy to get paid is going to be Micah Parsons. And so when you have that much money tied into, like, three players, it kind of makes team building a little bit more difficult. But at the same time, and I don't necessarily think Dak is a top three quarterback, but when you have a top three pass rusher in Micah Parsons and a top three wide receiver in CeeDee Lamb, like, the markets for good edge rushers and good wide receivers is kind of through the roof right now. You want to keep those guys on your team. You want to pay them. You got to do it. So, you know, with Micah, he's going to be the next guy that Jerry's going to open the checkbook for, and he's going to have to pay him. But because basically what he's done since he's been drafted out of Penn State, as Derek Carr mentioned, he's been one of the best players in the NFL.
Yeah, unfortunately for the Cowboys, the results of them drafting so well is you end up having to pay these guys.
Exactly, and they have drafted well.
Right.
And so Micah Parsons was a first-round pick. CeeDee Lamb was a first-round pick, and both guys have lived up to that billing. Micah is going to get paid, and it's going to be tough for Jerry to do so because at that point, like, how do you dish out the rest of your money because you have so much of your cap tied into those three players. But that's your core. That's the core of your team. So,
yeah, looking at the Dallas Cowboys overall, I guess considered one of the favorites in the NFC, but yeah. It seems like a step down from what folks were at least thinking of when you throw the top team, obviously a San Francisco 49ers, who, man, they're dealing with some problems of their own right now.
Yeah, but they still looked really impressive against the Jets in week one.
Oh, yeah.
Because the Jets had, like,
a bunch of hype good D, right?
Entering the season, too. Yeah, a good defense, and Jordan Mason kind of ran all over them. That was interesting. as far as the NFC goes, the NFC East is, you know, it's about as separate as you can get, right? Where you have Dallas and Philly.
Right.
Which are the two teams that are going to be competing for not just playoff spots, but trying to get to the NFC Championship and the Super Bowl, right? And then on the opposite side, you have Washington and New York, who are kind of battling it out in the toilet bowl today. So, I mean, the Giants are one of the worst teams in football. They're going to be battling for a top spot. I was pretty impressed with Jaden Daniels and his week one performance against Tampa Bay. I know that they got killed. It was, what, like 41-17 or something like that. 20-37? Oh, wow. It's actually a little bit better than I expected. But as far as, you know, that week one performance from Jaden, he looked poised against a pretty tough Buccaneers defense.
Had plenty of those rushing yards.
Yeah, going against Todd Bowles as a DC in your first game in the NFL, it's got to be pretty tough, right? But Jaden was pretty impressive. At the same time, there's that gap, right? That's my entire point of going on this little spiel. There's a pretty big ocean-sized gap between Philly and Dallas, and then in the bottom half of the NFC East with Washington and New York.
Going to be interesting, obviously, too, today to see what's going to make of this Saints run game that had some success in the opening game, because I think this is one of those games where you need your best players to be your best players, and a heavy dose of Alvin Kamara would be really nice against this Dallas Cowboys team to keep, you know, that pressure from coming on Derek Carr and that, you know, the pass rush coming from the Dallas Cowboys. And will they be able to open up those rushing lanes? Because that's the one good thing, at least being on top of the dome in the press box. It was pretty impressive to see what the O-line was able to accomplish for the Saints against the Panthers in week one, because you saw the lanes, you saw those openings. And can that continue into week two against a much stiffer test? We keep talking about the Dallas Cowboys front, but the O-line for the Saints, they definitely deserved a lot of credit in that opener. Can they continue to have that success? We know that, you know, Fuaga dealing with the back issue is a main concern. If he can't go and you need to put, say, like a Landon Young over at left tackle, how much help are you going to have to give Young? And then does that take away from what you're giving Trevor Penning for help?
So, as we mentioned with DeMarcus Lawrence and Micah Parsons, they combined for three of the six sacks against Cleveland. And quarterback hits, Micah had one sack, but he had five quarterback hits. DeMarcus Lawrence had two sacks and four quarterback hits. As far as the Saints, 37 rushing attempts against Carolina. The volume has to be there, Steve.
Yeah.
The volume has to be there because, you know, 4.9 yards per carry, if you keep running it down their throat, there's nothing they can do. Like, you neutralize that threat from Lawrence, Parsons, that Cowboys pass rush, if you can effectively run the football. And while the Browns were effectively able to run the football, they didn't have, you know, the volume, right? They had 19 carries. The Saints had 37 in their week one game. If the Saints get anywhere near that, right, like 35-plus carries in this game, it means the offense is running efficiently. And then they have a shot to pull off this upset. You don't want Derek Carr throwing the ball 45 times in this game. That is not anywhere close to what you want. You would be more confident in the Saints' ability to pull off this upset if they were closer to 40 rushing attempts. Then you're feeling good, because that means that you're moving the ball downfield, you're controlling the clock, you're keeping the Cowboys' offense off the field, you're keeping your defense rested, and you're putting up points. Like, you're getting, like, these long extended drives, you're getting down into the red zone, kicking field goals or scoring touchdowns. So if the Saints can get those rushing numbers, and I'm looking, like, yards are one thing, average is another, but just get those attempts up. You know what I mean? Because if you can average close to 5 yards per carry, which they did in week one, and which Dallas gave up in week one, I mean, their offense should be running pretty smoothly, Steve.
Guy that's seen this defense up close and personal a whole bunch, the voice of the Cowboys, Brad Sham, dropped by the fans in the Pro on Friday talking to Deuce McAllister and Mike Hoss. Here's what Brad Sham, voice of the Cowboys, had to say about this Dallas defense.
Well, I hope it's for real, but, you know, they've played one game under a new system that is drastically different. What Dan Quinn did here the last 3 years was really important, because when they came in 2020, Dan and that defensive staff were not here. And they had statistically, I believe I'm right in this, they had statistically the worst defensive year they'd had in the history of the franchise 2020. Now, I understand COVID, no training camp, but you don't have to be the worst you've ever been. But they were. So he changed the entire staff and hired Dan. And what Dan did in terms of bringing in personnel, literally changing the entire defensive culture, was critical to them being able to win 12 games 3 years in a row. And Dan likes kind of different players than Mike Zimmer likes. And so last year's a great – I thought the last 2 years – they were not their strongest in December, which you want to be. And last year especially, they had an injury or two, and so they had safeties playing linebacker which is kind of okay with Dan because he wants fast players and players who are built like Jayron Kearse, who had a couple of great years here. Mike's different. And so they're very fortunate to have a guy like Parsons who, as Deuce says, can play almost anywhere. And they'll show him everywhere. But the it's night and day, the linebackers, from anything they've had in the last 3 years and the way they use them. And even without Deron Bland, I think their secondary is solid. Now, it'll get tested this week, but I think the secondary is solid. The linebackers are a plus. I think that, you know, the funny thing is, Deuce, they literally remade their defensive line in the last week and a half of camp when they brought in Jordan Phillips and Linval Joseph and Lawson, who's on the practice squad. I mean, those guys weren't there, and they had to have them. They just were not going to be good enough in the defensive line. Well, now they might be able to be competitive, and because the linebackers are have the skill sets that they do, it gives them a chance. I have just seen too many to get too excited after one game. I do love watching Parsons. I think DeMarcus Lawrence is so solid. He's a tremendous run player. Could play for my team any day. I think that Oso Digizua is a vastly underrated tackle, and I think everybody who gets an opportunity to watch DeMarvion Overshown, who had never seen him in school, that he's a treat to watch. He is very fast and physical. So those are all good things. But Cleveland had one set of looks. You know, Deshaun Watson hadn't played much football in 2 years. And that's not what they're getting in Derek Carr. And so I think Cleveland was somewhat hampered. And Njoku went out early in the game. And the Saints show them something completely different. So, Deuce, when they have played, they're going to get Baltimore next week. And then I think the Giants. Yeah, when we get into that part of the calendar, then we can talk about whether their defense is for real. But that, based on one game, it was encouraging.
And now that's the voice of the Dallas Cowboys, Brad Sham, right there. And like Saints fans, I think like most of us, he's kind of in that motion going, all right, nice showing week one. Let's not overhype or get over like too high off of things right now. Let's see what they do. Obviously, loved the comparison when he was talking about Deshaun Watson not playing a ton of football
versus
a guy like Derek Carr, who's been there, done that right now, and is, I guess you would say, you're more comfortable with him running your team offense than a Deshaun right now.
And we'll hear Brad talk about the offense later on as well, where he talks about Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb, the offensive weapons, the rushing attack as well. He's not really counting the chickens before they hatch, so to speak, with this Cowboys defense. Mike Zimmer, good point. We haven't even brought it up yet.
Yeah.
First year at D.C., now that Dan Quinn was hired on as the head coach of the Washington Commanders.
We remember him from his days with the Vikings.
The Saints are very familiar with Mike Zimmer. Now, it was Sean Payton that was mostly familiar with him, but we'll see what happens with Clint Kubiak. There's some similarities there, or familiarity there as well. So, but as far as what you saw week one against Cleveland, it was a dominant performance on the road against a good Browns team. The Saints have their hands full with this Cowboys defense. As, you know, Brad talked about, they have good players at every level, especially up front with the pass rush.
Right.
But that Trevon Diggs is a corner that they paid, a guy that, you know, is a couple years removed from, I believe, an 8-interception season. If I'm correct there, it might have even been more than that. I'll have to look that up. They have good players at each level. And so this is a team, there's a reason why they're one of the top teams in the NFC expected to be competing for not just a playoff spot, but looking to try and get to the final four of the NFC.
A step up in competition. Looking forward to the noon kickoff right here on WWL Saints Radio. You can catch 10 o'clock will be the Bud Light Countdown, the kickoff with the Cajun Cannon. Get his take on this big matchup between the Dallas Cowgirls, as he calls them, which I absolutely love. Want to hear from you on our Oakwood Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. It's 504-260-1870. How you doing this pregame? I getting ready for a Dallas squad that is also 1-0 and definitely one of those teams you consider a measuring stick as you go forward now. Nice showing against the Panthers. Now what can the Saints do against the Cowboys? We'll be back with more audio and our takes right here on First Take after the break on WWL.
He's so innovative. He's so good at anticipating what other teams are trying to do and creating complex equations for them to try to figure out in the middle of the game.
That is DeMario Davis talking about Saints head coach Dennis Allen. We know he's got a great defensive mind in the last three games for Dak Prescott against the Saints. DA's been in his bag, I'll say. Dak's completed 71% of his passes, 710 yards, two touchdowns, two interceptions, and has been sacked a total of nine times. We'll take that going into this matchup for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And real quick, I was a little bit incorrect about Trevon Diggs. He had 11. Interceptions that one season that he was, you know, elite, a Pro Bowl caliber player, All Pro caliber player.
Don't shortchange.
A couple things about Trevon Diggs, real quick, Steve. We have a text here from 8942. Olave, what's your thoughts? He's going to get some tough top cornerbacks today. Will he show up? I say no. He is all of you fooled. A top tier number two, yes, but not a number one. Listen, man, Olave had a very quiet week one, and he didn't even need to have a big week one because the Saints were just killing the Panthers.
That's what I keep telling you. He didn't need to, thankfully.
Correct. Now, a couple things. NFL.com
they need him today.
Great article about Trevon Diggs in that week one performance against the Browns. Quote, Diggs surrendered only 23 yards on six completions after Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson threw his way nine times as the primary defender in coverage in addition to his interception. So he had a week one pick as well. We didn't mention that yet. As far as, you know, the passer rating, he registered a 30.6 defensive passer rating allowed, the third best in the NFL among players who were targeted at least five times in week one. Trevon Diggs is going to be a test for Chris Olave. But in this article via Garrett Podell, he was asked earlier on in the week during a presser about Chris Olave and, you know, what kind of challenge that will present them. And he had a pretty funny response. He said, quote, is this a trick question? He's a good player. And that was it. So, like, yeah, they know about each other. They're going to be going up against each other. Who wins that matchup will be gigantic. As I mentioned, I mean, Trevon Diggs just dominated against Cleveland, as basically the entire Cowboys team did. This is a test for Olave, who had a very quiet week one. Because entering the year, talking to Brian Baldinger, talking to all these NFL analysts, they're just like, we could wake up in December and Chris Olave will already have 100 targets, right? He could finish the year with, like, 120. In that week one performance against Carolina, he had two. Two targets, two catches, 15 yards, or 11 yards, my bad, 5.5 yards per catch. Pretty ho-hum. So, I mean, can he be a bigger part of the offense this week? I think it's a big question.
Yeah, I'm not so worried about it because they didn't need Chris Olave to stretch the field and be that dude for them. Obviously, the combination of him and Rashid Shaheed, I think, gets slept on a lot, too, in the NFL for whatever reason. Maybe because they're not these big physical-type receivers.
That's why. They're not big.
But they
got
speed, man. Speed kills.
That's exactly what the Cowboys' secondary is prepared for. I mean, another guy, fifth-round rookie corner, Caitlin Carson, via this NFL.com article, talked about, I feel like he got speed. Talking about Olave, all the Saints receivers in general have speed. So,
First Take brought to you by Harrah's New Orleans, a Caesars Rewards destination. We'll be back with more of it right after this. Stay tuned here on WWL. Back here, closing out the first hour of First Take, getting ready for the Bud Light countdown, the kickoff with the Cajun Cannon coming up at 10 a.m. Then we got kickoff in Dallas against the Cowboys, noon. And looking forward to that start. I know we got plenty of other action to talk about as well. NFC South. Week one, guys, we saw the Tampa Bay Buccaneers obviously getting a win, and the other two teams, Atlanta Falcons, and obviously the Carolina Panthers coming up with losses in their debuts.
Atlanta's kind of in trouble.
A little bit in trouble.
And we were all kind of slamming the Michael Penix pick. Kirk Cousins can't move, Steve.
I was going to say, they might be going to Penix a lot sooner than expected.
He can't move. Like, they weren't even calling play action. Like, the average yards per, like, movement in his dropbacks was, like, three. And if you watch, there's plenty of videos of this on social media, especially Twitter, where you just see him and all the passing plays that he had for the Falcons. He's not moving out of the pocket at all. He's a statue. And he's not comfortable with that Achilles injury. And so they're playing the Eagles this week, the other NFC East team that's, you know, top of the pile in the NFC. And then they play the Chiefs in week three. So while the Saints have a tough early season schedule, in that week four matchup against Atlanta, I mean, that could be an 0-3 Falcons team. You could have a chance to bury them early.
Coming up, top of the hour news, then more First Takes. We'll be right back on WWL.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
He's so innovative. He's so good at anticipating what other teams are trying to do and creating complex equations for them to try to figure out in the middle of the game.
That is DeMario Davis talking about Saints head coach Dennis Allen. We know he's got a great defensive mind in the last three games for Dak Prescott against the Saints. DA's been in his bag, I'll say. Dak's completed 71% of his passes, 710 yards, two touchdowns, two interceptions, and has been sacked a total of nine times. We'll take that going into this matchup for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And real quick, I was a little bit incorrect about Trevon Diggs. He had 11. Interceptions that one season that he was, you know, elite, a Pro Bowl caliber player, All Pro caliber player.
Don't shortchange
a couple
him.
Things about Trevon Diggs, real quick, Steve. We have a text here from 8942. Olave, what's your thoughts? He's going to get some tough top cornerbacks today. Will he show up? I say no. He is all of you fooled. A top tier number two, yes, but not a number one. Listen, man, Olave had a very quiet week one, and he didn't even need to have a big week one because the Saints were just killing the Panthers.
That's what I keep telling you. He didn't need to, thankfully.
Correct. Now, a couple things. NFL.com
they need him today.
Great article about Trevon Diggs in that week one performance against the Browns. Quote, Diggs surrendered only 23 yards on six completions after Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson threw his way nine times as the primary defender in coverage in addition to his interception. So he had a week one pick as well. We didn't mention that yet. As far as, you know, the passer rating, he registered a 30.6 defensive passer rating allowed, the third best in the NFL among players who were targeted at least five times in week one. Trevon Diggs is going to be a test for Chris Olave. But in this article via Garrett Podell, he was asked earlier on in the week during a presser about Chris Olave and, you know, what kind of challenge that will present him. And he had a pretty funny response. He said, quote, is this a trick question? He's a good player. And that was it. So, like, yeah, they know about each other. They're going to be going up against each other. Who wins that matchup will be gigantic. As I mentioned, I mean, Trevon Diggs just dominated against Cleveland, as basically the entire Cowboys team did. This is a test for Olave, who had a very quiet week one. Because entering the year, talking to Brian Baldinger, talking to all these NFL analysts, they're just like, we could wake up in December and Chris Olave will already have 100 targets, right? He could finish the year with, like, 120. In that week one performance against Carolina, he had two. Two targets, two catches, 15 yards, or 11 yards, my bad, 5.5 yards per catch. Pretty ho-hum. So, I mean, can he be a bigger part of the offense this week? I think it's a big question.
Yeah, I'm not so worried about it because they didn't need Chris Olave to stretch the field and be that dude for them. Obviously, the combination of him and Rashid Shaheed, I think, gets slept on a lot, too, in the NFL for whatever reason, maybe because they're not these big physical-type receivers.
That's why. That's why. They're not big.
But they
They're
got
not...
speed, man. Speed kills.
That's exactly what the Cowboys' secondary is prepared for. I mean, another guy, fifth-round rookie corner, Caitlin Carson, via this NFL.com article, talked about, I feel like he got speed. Talking about Olave. all the Saints receivers in general have speed. So,
First Take brought to you by Harrah's New Orleans, a Caesars Rewards destination. We'll be back with more of it right after this. Stay tuned here on WWL. Back here, closing out the first hour of First Take, getting ready for the Bud Light countdown, the kickoff with the Cajun Cannon coming up at 10 a.m. Then we got kickoff in Dallas against the Cowboys, noon. And looking forward to that start. I know we got plenty of other action to talk about as well. NFC South, week one, guys. We saw the Tampa Bay Buccaneers obviously getting a win, and the other two teams, Atlanta Falcons, and obviously the Carolina Panthers coming up with losses in their debuts.
Atlanta's kind of in trouble.
A little bit in trouble.
And we were all kind of slamming the Michael Penix pick. Kirk Cousins can't move, Steve.
I was going to say, they might be going to Penix a lot sooner than expected.
He can't move. Like, they weren't even calling play action. Like, the average yards per, like, movement in his dropbacks was, like, 3. And if you watch, there's plenty of videos of this on social media, especially Twitter, where you just see him and all the passing plays that he had for the Falcons. He's not moving out of the pocket at all. He's a statue. And he's not comfortable with that Achilles injury. And so they're playing the Eagles this week, the other NFC East team that's, you know, top of the pile in the NFC. And then they play the Chiefs in week 3. So while the Saints have a tough early season schedule, in that week 4 matchup against Atlanta, I mean, that could be an 0-3 Falcons team. You could have a chance to bury them early.
Coming up, top of the hour news, then more First Takes. We'll be right back on WWL. Back here, closing out the first hour of First Take, getting ready for the Bud Light countdown, the kickoff with the Cajun Cannon coming up at 10 a.m. Then we got kickoff in Dallas against the Cowboys, noon. And looking forward to that start. I know we got plenty of other action to talk about as well. NFC South, week one, guys. We saw the Tampa Bay Buccaneers obviously getting a win, and the other two teams, Atlanta Falcons, and obviously the Carolina Panthers coming up with losses in their debuts.
Atlanta's kind of in trouble.
A little bit in trouble.
And we were all kind of slamming the Michael Penix pick. Kirk Cousins can't move, Steve.
I was going to say, they might be going to Penix a lot sooner than expected.
He can't move. Like, they weren't even calling play action. Like, the average yards per, like, movement in his dropbacks was, like, 3. And if you watch, there's plenty of videos of this on social media, especially Twitter, where you just see him and all the passing plays that he had for the Falcons. He's not moving out of the pocket at all. He's a statue. And he's not comfortable with that Achilles injury. And so they're playing the Eagles this week, the other NFC East team that's, you know, top of the pile in the NFC. And then they play the Chiefs in week 3. So while the Saints have a tough early season schedule, in that week 4 matchup against Atlanta, I mean, that could be an 0-3 Falcons team. You could have a chance to bury them early.
Coming up, top of the hour news, then more First Takes. We'll be right back on WWL.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.